The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $199. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $399. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $299. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big money at Menards.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. I'm sitting here watching these Clipper fans. They're down 10. They hit a three, and the Clipper fans are going crazy thinking they're going to win this game, and they're getting their ass beat in this game is what's happening. I mean, they are absolutely getting their ass beat. I see no light at the end of the tunnel in this game. There's no way they haven't stopped the Suns all night. Now, all of a sudden, they're going to stop them? What, are they going to outscore them 2-1 in the fourth? Give me a break. Here's a deal. Listen to this. I'm reading this right now. I want to puke. R.J. Barrett, the Knicks are interested in packaging R.J. Barrett in a deal for Damian Lillard or Bradley Beal. Barrett is 21 years old with the third overall pick in the 2019 draft, started 72 games and averaged 17 points, 44% shooting, 40% from three, 5.8 rebounds, 3 assists per game last season. Trade rumors are circulating around Lillard following a report from Yahoo Sports on Sunday that he wants out because of the situation with the hiring of Chauncey Billups, right? And then he's 31, Lillard, 6-time All-NBA player, averaged 28, 7.5 assists per game for the Blazers. He just finished his 9th season. Beal has stated allegedly that he wants to remain in Washington for the remainder of his career, although trade rumors have persisted. He's under contract through 21-22 and has a player option for 22-23. 28-year-old, a 3-time All-Star, scored 31 a game for the Wizards last season. The Knicks are looking to improve on their 41-31 season that saw them make the playoffs for the first time since 2012-2013. Here's the deal. Mafia, there is no way that the Blazers or the Wizards are that stupid that they're going to trade Damian Lillard for R.J. Barrett, or or that the Wizards would trade Bradley Beal for R.J. Barrett. I mean, what about the rest of the team that they're going to include in either deal? Because R.J. Barrett can't hold either one of them, their onions, either one of them. I mean, there is no way that either team would ever be that stupid to make a job. I don't care how young he is. I don't care how good he is. He's not better than either one of them will ever be. Never. Both of them are 3-4 times better than R.J. Barrett. I mean, Damian Lillard, it would take 3 R.J. Barretts to make that trade. There's no way either one of them is a 1-for-1 swap. It's not happening. That is a terrible report. There's no way that they're trading Damian Lillard for RJ Barrett. I wouldn't make that deal if I was drunk and on crack if I were the Blazers GM. We already know he's an idiot. We've already seen their stupid-ass press conference the other day with Billups. That was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. But you know, Mafia, there's no way they're trading straight up RJ Barrett for either one of those guys.
No, it's not possible just within the rules of the NBA to make that one-on-one trade. It would have to be a package. Even if it wasn't about salary matching, that kind of stuff, you just tell them, watch, you're not going to trade one for one. You're going to want two, three, four guys out of that, or two or three guys and a couple picks. It's going to include a package of way more than just him. But, even if that, not just because of the talent, but to match salary, you'd have to. The kids on his rookie deal, those guys are making buco bucks. You'd have to trade at least four guys' salary to match what they're making to make things even.
Listen, I just saw Steve Ballmer grabbing the guy's legs around him that, he's sitting with at the game. Did you see that? He's like grabbing their onions. I'm like, what is happening here? I'm watching the game and they're showing him in slow motion. He's rubbing. He's rubbing the guy's legs on his left and right. He's literally grabbing their thighs and rubbing them. I mean, it is like a genie bottle. I'm watching and I'm going, what is happening here? What am I watching? The owner, the billionaire owner, he's rubbing down the guys he's at the game with. Like on national television, I'm watching this guy massaging the guy sitting next to him, right? Like both of, like, I mean, high and tight too, up near the Satchel Paige region, up in the, you talk about Bolivia, Mafia. Your boy Ballmer was rubbing Bolivia. He had it all going. Did you see it?
I did see that. I was very concerned about that. I don't know. I've heard of different tactics to get guys, for a little, superstition and good luck and, rally things like turn the hat inside out and backwards with baseball. I've never heard of rub the guy next to you's thigh for 30 seconds.
I mean, that was bad. He had the double rub going, but double thighs. He was rubbing both of them. The only thing worse would have been the full Shasta. Like if he had, if he just grabbed both of their onions and did it on national television, that would have been an amazing development. I think that would have been a fascinating scene for us to relay to the audience. Still a 10-point game with a minute left in the third. And the Suns are up, and the fans keep screaming and cheering and getting excited, and yet it's still a 10-point game. I mean, all that hard work, all that effort, all that running, stops, block shots, diving for balls, hard fouls, hurting people, and they're still down 10. I mean, they are in trouble.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds.
And more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so Mafia, that was a they're checking the replay for a flagrant dirty elbow by Boogie Cousins, and the refs are over at the monitor and they're talking, and the overall analyst ref, I forget what his name is, they brought him on just a minute ago, the old guy, and he's like, Javi, yeah, Steve Javi, he said he's a flopper. I want to see what they say. Technical on Boogie. They always get you. And that is, I you know what? I agree with Javi. I think that he never hit him at all in the face. And I thought Chris Paul won an Oscar and took a dive. It was a flop. And he never hit him. But I won't deny that Boogie threw the elbow.
He got a piece. He didn't get the full elbow to the face. I think he got like the forearm at the beginning of it with the shove. I don't think it was a flat-out elbow. I think he was just shoving him with the arm. But it was still stupid, useless, dirty play that, cost him. Like, what's the point of that? What, you're in this game. You're only down 12. You have a whole quarter and do something dumb like that to give him extra points.
Yeah, I mean, well, Boogie's never been a Rhodes Scholar. your boy Boogie's more of a gangster than a educated man. He's sloppy and ugly and dirty. There's no denying it. He, you know, you mess with him, he'll knock your head off. He's one of the dirtier players in the league. I mean, he doesn't take any crap. And when he posts up, he means business. Like, he'll throw elbows and everything when he's posting up. You want to get into some violence, he'll throw his body weight around when he's in that low block. I think he made a living doing it before he was injured, right? I think he looks, you know, overall, for what he's been through, I got to be honest with you, for what he's been through with injuries, I think he's actually looked pretty decent coming back with the Clippers. The last game and tonight, I think he's played pretty well. I thought that was a stupid play, but I think overall he's done a pretty good job, considering, frankly, that everybody wrote him off completely, that his career was finished after he had all the injuries.
Yeah, he has been a nice little piece for them and stepped up big with Zubac out. Had a great game last one. Not as good this week. He had a good start to this one. I think he's kind of, you know, tapered off. But even just looking at him, you know, when you're looking at him as he was watching, you know, the replay and shaking his head like, nah, I didn't do nothing. Like, he looked, physically, he looks a lot better than I think he did early in his career. I think even though he's had all these injuries and he's older now, like, I think he's lost a bunch of weight. I think this is the best shape I can remember seeing him in a while. That I think he, you know, finally took things seriously, having to rehab from all these injuries and dropped some weight and got into the actual, like, shape. Before, he was just like, I'm a badass, I'm going to roll through everybody, I don't care if I'm a little fat. Now I think he's actually, you know, pretty jacked.
Now I don't even know what they're doing now. They just teched up someone on the Suns. They just teched up Chris Paul for, I have no idea what for. I have no idea what this technical's about. Because the Suns hit a three. Beverly ran down the court, threw the ball to Morris in the corner for a sloppy, miserable brick of a hit the back of the backboard. I don't even know what just happened. All I saw was Morris miss everything. He shot and hit the side of the backboard. They must have called him for some kind of – here it is. Tell me what this call is. Aiden got in his face. What is the tech for? I got to see what Paul – what does Paul do in the lane? Let's see what Paul does here. I have no idea what that call was about. Can you even explain what that technical was for? I mean, it's just unbelievable.
No, I'm trying to listen to hear what it is, because I can't see anything that would have, you know, gotten the foul.
There is – what did he do? He didn't do anything. I don't even understand what that call is. But this game – and now it's 14. This game is so over. They can't get – it keeps getting worse. Have you noticed? It keeps getting worse. It's not – they're down 14 now. It was 10 and they were bragging. They thought they were in it at 10. Now it's 14. I mean, they can't get out of their own way. And it's getting real chippy because they're losing. So they're breaking down mentally now. They are losing it. They're losing it. They're getting dirty. Cousins is throwing elbows. And then I don't know what that play was with Beverly bringing it up to court, because he is a utter disaster with the pill in his hands as a guard. I mean, Beverly is the worst ball handler, if you ask me, that I've ever seen. And then he throws it to Morris in the corner and he hits the side of the backboard. I mean, what the F happened to Rondo? Have you even seen Rondo play in this series? Like, he must have been injured or something, because no one even talks about him. Like, you know how they talk about all these guys like Trae Young and Giannis's injuries and everything else. Have you seen Rondo play 1 minute? No.
Because he's not playing. No, I haven't seen him. It says he's active, just did not enter the game.
Well, I mean, it's just unbelievable. How do you let Beverly carry the rock when you got a guy like that on your team? I mean, honestly. I mean, this game, it's 97-83.
He hasn't played since.
He played the first two games and hasn't played since?
First three. Played 22 minutes in game one, 17 in game two, 8 in game three, and hasn't played since.
I mean, that is just absolutely crazy. But he did, you know, he did fall off the dock a little bit with those numbers. But now you've got CP3 with 22. Crowder's got 19. Booker's got 18. By the way, Chris Paul, 4 of 5 from downtown. Sarich has 7. Payne has 7. Craig has 3. Bridges has 9. Aiden has 12 and 13 boards. I mean, they're shooting 54% and 58% from downtown. I mean, this game's over. It's just over. You cannot tell me that a team that shoots 54% from the floor and 58% from three in the NBA is losing a game. They're just not losing. I don't care. So what do they have to do now? Like outscore them 26 in the fourth quarter. That's what they have to do. They have to outscore them 40-26 to tie the game, right? To finish tied. That's what they got to do. They're down 14. It's not happening. They're just not hitting shots. They're shooting 32% from three, and they're awful. That's it. It's over. I mean, I will keel over if they win this game, the Clippers. I will keel over. And I can't even believe. You can't even explain it to me. How do you show up for game five in Phoenix and kick their ass by 14? And then tonight, on your home floor, you can't get out of your own way. Explain that to me, and then I'll shut up. Because I just cannot grasp that you can't play better in your own building in front of a sellout crowd in L.A., that you can't play better than this, that you lay this egg. And then they're going to interview this guy, Ty Lue, right now in the timeout. How embarrassing. What's he going to say? Hey, what's going on here? Ty, what do you got to do to catch him here in the fourth? How about we're not catching him here in the fourth?
Right, they haven't won a single quarter of this game. They've been outscored every quarter. They've been outscored every quarter. 4 points, 5 points, 5 points. They've lost every quarter so far.
I mean, they can't even get a rebound. They just got another rebound and followed by Ayton. They absolutely can't even get an effing rebound. That's why they're losing this game. Second and third chances, threes, twos, free throws, everything. They're dominating every single facet of this game. Boogie got fouled, made the bucket, then got tripped by Paul, and it's an and one. It still doesn't matter. It still doesn't matter. Like, look at this. Boogie had the rebound, lost it. Ayton gets it and scores, and Boogie ends up on the ground. Then they go down. Boogie scores, gets fouled, gets tripped, gets hit hard, lands on the floor. Still, they're still down. It doesn't matter what they do, they can't get any closer.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead. Ask them. But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Guys, my buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Blue Line Kurtz joins us now. George Kurtz from Sports Grid to talk baseball and hockey. So I guess they're about to start the Yankee-Angel game again in the fifth inning after a rain delay. I don't know how long they were in a rain delay, but they're starting this game again here in about 4 minutes, and it's in the fifth. Bottom five, Yankees up 7-4. All right, so that's what happened. Ohtani gave up 7 runs in the first inning, and that was the end of him. They pulled him after he got lit up. I mean, it was literally, they went off. The Gosselin homer made it 2-0 Angels to start the game, and then Stanton singled to left, LeMahieu scored, Torres singled to left, Voit scored, and Duhar grounded out to third. Sanchez scored. Then Gardner walked. Stanton scored. It was 4-2. LeMahieu doubled to right. Gardner and Torres and Frazier all scored. That made it 7-2. Seven straight runs. And then Lagares doubled to left. And Iglesias scored, made it 7-3 in the second. And then Walsh hit a home run to center, made it 7-4 in the fifth. And that's when the game stopped because of the storms in the Bronx and all over New York City. I guess it's been raining outside left and right. So, Mafia, did we ever get George back? Or? All right, so we don't have George, so there you go. We had him for a while, and obviously the rain has caused the loss of George Kurtz. We had him, I heard him on there, and then he was gone, so it must be the lightning. Maybe it's the Tampa Bay Lightning's fault that we had him and then we didn't have him. Now we have him. George, are you there?
I am here. Listen, you don't want to bring up the Lightning to me. Come on, man. Don't rub it in. It's only been, what, 5-6 days. I'm still recovering.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about, George. Did you get struck by lightning or something?
You know, it's funny. I come home and my 10-year-old daughter just asked me the same thing. Dad, have you ever been struck by lightning? No. The Islanders, however, were.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I wasn't actually making fun of you because I forgot all about the Islanders' shorthanded Game 7 loss. No, there's no worse way to lose a game 7 than a shorthanded goal 1-0 in a game of that significance. There's no worse way to lose. I mean, and so I didn't even want to bring it up. I didn't even know what you were talking about, I swear to God. But now that you've brought it up, you have to admit, there's no worse way to lose.
No, especially when you consider they did not let up, the Islanders did not let up a shorthanded goal all season. They did let up one other one in the playoffs, but no shorthanded goals during the regular season. They let up two in the playoffs. You know, it's funny. I was talking to, I don't think it was Carver. I think it was somebody else, another Islander fan here. And I told them before the game, I'm like, you know what? Because we were talking about the refs, how I think they'll swallow the whistles and no calls. I'm like, and that's good for the Islanders because you know what? Our power play is terrible anyway. So we don't want to be on the power play because we don't want Tampa on the power play. I wasn't thinking shorthanded goal. I was thinking, you know, I'd rather have both teams have zero power plays because I'm afraid of Tampa Bay's power play. Lord, did I think that, you know, I should be afraid of our power play too.
Anyway, he's... there's no doubt that it was a rough way to lose. You know, I felt bad because I bet on him. I bet on him in game 7. I thought that they could win, and they obviously lost 1-0. I thought it was brutal. I thought they'd win the series. I picked them against the Penguins, picked them against the Bruins, picked them against the Lightning, and then they lose game 7 that way. But now that that's over with and done, and their season ends again at the hands of the Lightning, but they went one game further than last year in the conference finals. They lost in 6. This year they lose in 7. There's no doubt that they're as good as it gets in the NHL. I think they're better than Vegas. I know Vegas loses late in the season every year, George. They lost in the finals, then lost in game 7 of the first round with the Sharks on a terrible call. And then they lost to Dallas conference finals and then lose in the conference finals again this year to Montreal. But I think, if you ask me, I think the Islanders did better than them.
I think the Islanders can play with just about if a team that's constructed as is, they can play with anyone. They have to play a certain style. You know, they can't play run and gun. They'll get killed by anybody. But in a 7-game series, they're going to play a dump-in game. They're going to hit. They want to play a long series. That's what they want to do. They want to tire you down with their physicality. I think that physicality will take somewhat of a hit next season if Casey Cizikas does not return. He is a free agent. The Islanders are up against the cap. They have other contracts they have to worry about, namely Adam Pellett. Sorokin is going to get a raise as well. So I think it'll be tough to see what they do. I'm curious to see who they're going to leave unprotected in the expansion draft. It could be someone like Eberle. It could be Nick Leddy. And you say, oh, no big losses there, but either one of those guys would be a big loss to the Islanders. Eberle does score some goals, and the Islanders don't have an overwhelming amount of those kind of players. And Nick Leddy is one of the few skaters who can skate the puck out of the zone for the Islanders. So it's curious to see what the Islanders are going to do to try and maybe be able to re-sign Cizikas, because that fourth line, Cizikas, Martin, Clutterbuck, you know, Individually, they're not much, but together, they're the core of the Islanders. They're what that team is about.
Well, there's no doubt, you know, and you talk about the expansion draft, and I have to tell you, I was saying today on Coast to Coast that, you know, it is so much different now than what it used to be. In 99, when I was the Thrashers play-by-play voice, they had the expansion draft, and the Thrashers were given a dog pile, a landfill, garbage dump list of players. I mean, the worst players on the face of the earth ended up playing with the Thrashers. I don't care what anybody says. People say all the time, like, oh, Ray Ferraro. Ray Ferraro was a legend. There's no doubt he had a great career. But they got him when he was finished. And everyone else, Kelly Bookberger, they got him when he was finished. He had absolutely nothing left, and neither did Ray Ferraro. I don't care what anybody says. They were all hacks. They had guys like Per Svarvadit. It was the worst team ever assembled on the face of the earth. And then they went to the draft, and they drafted a guy with 15 concussions, Patrick Stefan. It was the worst managed, worst expansion team ever. And unless you go back to 1967 when you got like the Penguins and the like in the league. But, you know, when Vegas had their expansion draft, they got a loaded gun. And I'm assuming that Seattle is going to get the same thing, George, a loaded gun. And I think it's BS because when the Thrashers did it, we got garbage. And then they load up these teams now with talent. And you know you're going to get a guy or two plucked from that Islander team.
Well, first, I agree with everything you said. I think, once again, back in when the Thrashers came in, you did get garbage. You may have gotten names, but those names were well, well past their prime. You weren't getting anyone that the original team wanted to lose. They didn't care, right? Ferraro, and I love Ray Ferraro when I owned the van, but nobody cared about losing him at that time. What's changed now is the fee, right? It's the $500 million that these expansion teams are paying. And I guess part of the agreement was, yeah, you're going to pay an exorbitant fee, but we'll give you a team. We'll allow you to draft a team that can theoretically, actually more than theoretically, you mentioned Vegas. We know they went to the Cup Finals that year. That right. Can compete right away. And the expansion rules this year for the Seattle Kraken are the same. The rules are exactly the same. The only difference is, Scotty, is that I think teams will do a much, much better job of preparing themselves for this expansion draft, of who they might lose, the deals they might be able to make. I think when Vegas did it, no one knew what they were doing. They sort of fly by your pants. Okay, they won't take this guy. They're not going to make all of these deals. I mean, we've heard right now Seattle does have deals in place if certain guys are available. We'll take, you know, let's just say for giggles. Okay, we're going to take Jordan Eberle from the Islanders if he's available. Then we're going to trade Eberle to, I don't know, the Rangers for this this pick and that pick, or this pick, this prospect and that prospect. So it's going to be a fun sort of couple of days there in the draft, if you like transactions and stuff like that. But I think Seattle will be a good team right away, but not what Vegas was.
I think that, again, I'm going to say it again. It makes me so mad because I think it's BS. When I did it, okay, so I had to sit there and call 82 games of this loser team. I mean, it was the worst team ever. They won 11 games. I mean, they were the worst team ever, and that's what they gave us. That's what Gary Bettman gave us, that crap team. And you know what's worse is it was so crappy, they were finished in 10 years. They were out of business, and they had moved to Winnipeg. Forellipeg Jets, that's it. They left Atlanta because it was so awful from the jump. I am convinced that it was part of the reason. I really believe that it was part of the reason, George, that 10 years after they got the team back in Atlanta, because they had the Flames in the 70s, and to get that team back in 99, 10 years later it's gone. It's because it started the way they let the Thrashers have the worst expansion team ever. They just said, here, this is what you got. Crap. Good luck. And that's why they failed. From day one, they were up against it. We'll keep talking to George Kurtz on the bench.
Our goal is subtle
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're talking to my favorite Blue Line Kurtz. George, don't even try to sell me your BS that it's nice here, that you drove home tonight in Noah's Ark weather is what you just said, and that it was a monsoon from the hockey rink, and then Mavi is like, it's supposed to be okay on Monday, because I was like, it's supposed to rain the entire holiday weekend, and then I said, didn't it just rain through the entire Memorial Day weekend? It is just always crappy here in New York City. Don't even try to sell me that it isn't. Like, don't go there with me, George, because I'm gonna slap the shots back like I was a joker at Wimbledon against some unseeded player. I'm just gonna be jacking shots right down the line on you.
Oh, I'm not gonna sell you on it. My wife and I wouldn't say we have plans, but we've talked about moving out of New York. I'm born and raised in New York. I love New York, but the weather sucks. I mean, it just
it's
sucks.
The worst.
Even when it's nice, it's terrible. I mean, it's just we don't get nice enough weather long enough. My family is in the it all comes back to Tampa Bay too. Guess where my family is, right? My extended family. They're in Tampa Bay. That's where they all live.
They don't have those problems.
I do.
You do. You sure do. And you're right, because I've always said that, like, it's even crappy here when it's nice. Cause like in the summer it's 100 degrees with 100% humidity. And then in the winter, we have blizzards and freezing cold, ice, snow, wind. In the spring, we have driving rain and cold. Like, it was 40 degrees on June 1st. Did you realize that? Like, 30 days ago, it was 40 degrees. it's the worst.
Our weather can't make up its mind. You just reminded me that it's going to rain the next 4 days. On Sunday, when it's not going to rain, it's only going to be 70 degrees. 70's nice in May. In April, I love 70. In July, I'd probably like it to be a little warmer. Maybe go hit the pool or something like that.
Right.
So the weather just—it's just.
All right. It's weird. It's the worst. So let me go back to this. Do you agree with me that it's unfair? The NHL, the way they've handled that, it was the kiss of death for Atlanta to have that kind of team given to it, and then to have a GM, Don Waddell, no offense to, he's done a great job in Carolina, but in Atlanta, he went to the draft. I was there. I was at the draft, and he drafted Patrick Stephan. And I was like, I'll never forget, I was there that day, and I was drinking beer and the whole deal, and I was like, I had this giant beer. And when he picked him, I spit it out of my mouth, and I went, I was there with some people doing the broadcast or something, and I was like, did he just draft a guy with, like, 10 concussions? This guy. I go, he just drafted a guy with multiple concussions in his career. Like, who in their right mind drafts a kid that's had 10 concussions in the minors or in his junior career or in college, wherever the hell it was? All I know is, it's so long ago, George, I can't even remember. But I know Patrick Stephan never amounted to a hill of beans because he got his bell rung so many times. And that their fortunes went down the drain between that draft and between the expansion picks that they got, which was complete ass. And then the only thing good they ever did, two things, Kovalchuk, they screwed that up too. And B, Danny Heatley killed his teammate drunk driving. So there you go. Bad luck and bad expansion draft and a bad first draft with a guy with a bunch of concussions. Tell me I'm wrong, and I'll stop being a jerk.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but I think the NHL, I'm going to go a different direction here. Did they screw the Thrashers over? Of course they did, because back then they didn't care about the expansion team. You're lucky to be here, all right? So you get who we're going to give you, and you live with it, you build from there. But I think they also learned their lesson because, as you described, that team sucked. Nobody cared. Nobody came to the game. They had to move. So they've learned their lesson. I might give the NHL props for this, but the problem for me is I think they've gone too far in the other direction now. I don't think an expansion team should be in the Stanley Cup Finals right away either. I think there are some dues you should have to pay other than the $500 million. So I might let teams protect another player or two so that they can keep them. Why should the Islanders or any team for that matter lose a good player they don't want to lose? I understand you can't give them crap like the Thrashers got. I think there has to be some healthy medium in the middle there, where you get some decent players, but you're not going to be great right away. If the Kraken do it right, they could be a dangerous, dangerous team with the trades they're going to make, the players they're going to import. They'll be one of the few teams that's probably well under the cap, when the cap's going to be stagnant from this year, probably next year, maybe the year after that as well.
So let me ask you, I want to get into both the Stanley Cup and some baseball with you. Let me start, since we've been talking hockey, let me start with the game tonight. I thought the Canadians played their ass off, dominated the game. But when they gave up that Coleman goal at the end of the second with 0.3 left on the clock, at the end of the second with him diving in and somehow getting that puck underneath Price, the miracle goal, like him literally on his belly when he scored it. That was game over right there, because they never gave him jack in the third. And then Edmondson's play was so bad, so egregious, where he passed it to Palat on the backhander behind the net. That was so stupid and dumb and absolutely absurd, that play by Edmondson. I wouldn't let him play again. He'd be benched. If I ran the team, you'd be finished. I'm done. And they won't, because they need his size and physicality. But I'm telling you, that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen a guy do in a Stanley Cup final game. And the Canadians are dead. I don't care what anybody says. They're not winning 4-5 against that team.
I agree. I'd like to fight with you, but I agree. I don't think you could have said it any better about the Coleman goal. I think, that was the air out of the balloon. That was it. I think that might have been the series right there. I really do. I think the Canadians, they controlled the game tonight. They outshot him almost 2-1. They played great. Vasilevskiy played great, but that goal's a killer. I mean, we say this during the regular season. A goal at the end of a period, you can't have it. You can't have it. It's a killer. Because that whole intermission, it's all you're thinking about. Oh, my God, 2 seconds ago, I could have gotten out of this. And once again, just thinking hockey, Tampa Bay's not winning. Montreal's not winning 4-5. No one is against Tampa Bay. It's not happening. I think they could split in Montreal. It'll be 3-1. Congratulations. You're going to lose in 5. And that's the way I think it's going to be. I think they'll probably split in Montreal, and then Tampa Bay wins it at home. I think game 5 is Wednesday offhand. I know they're not going to play this
weekend. Right, it is.
But I think they win it Wednesday.
How about this? Even I said earlier, even if Montreal wins both games at the Bell Center, they'll still lose the series.
Listen, if you're going to tell me they're going to win both right now, I might feel a little different, because they probably, I don't want to say should have won tonight, but they could have won tonight. You know, now they've won both. I mean, that would have been one hell of a comeback. I don't think they win both. I just don't. I think they might win once they get Friday first game. Maybe it takes a little adjustment there, but they're not going to have a full house either there. I think they'll split. And listen, if Tampa Bay wins for Friday, then this is over Monday.
Can you believe they're only letting 3,500 people into that Bell Center for the Stanley Cup Finals? That's just like a ruiner right there.
Isn't this shocking to you how Canada has handled hockey all season long, though? This is the national sport there, right? It's like football to us. I know baseball, they say it's the national sport. We all know it's football. And they've like, I mean, does the, what are the they call the president there? I don't know what they call the guy.
The prime minister.
Prime minister, right? Does he hate hockey? Really?
No, he's just Bettman? I just think he's backward assed. I think they are still in a situation where it's just rampant, and the vaccination has been slower than molasses. They have done a poor job. In fact, it's so bad, I think that guy should lose his job without a question. They should just absolutely run him right the hell out of office and straight to send him to hell. I mean, he has butchered that like no other. Your boy Cam Stewart, he tells us every day he hasn't been able to leave his apartment in 2 years. I mean, what is going on there? It's like the Third Reich. I mean, what is happening in Canada? Yeah, I mean, honestly.
Cam's always saying, it's Trudeau. That's who it is. I knew I'd get the name eventually.
Yeah, his name. I knew it was Justin Trudeau. But here's the deal. It's just embarrassing. And the fact that there's only 3,500 people at that gives them zero advantage whatsoever. Now, I know Gabe and everybody's going to say that it's nothing's done until they play their two games. I'm sorry. They should have won tonight. They kicked their ass all night, and they still lost. That's all you need to know. They've been schooled by the Lightning, who've won 5 in a row at home and who are so loaded they could have guys missing in their lineup tonight, and nobody even cares that they're not playing. Killorn, doesn't even matter. So here's the deal. Let me ask you about the Yankees. I almost keeled over tonight. I hit Ohtani at plus 230 to hit home run Monday. Tuesday, I hit him at plus 190. I went for it again tonight on the Pharrell prop boat in the lagoon. He didn't do it, but he got lit up pitching against the Yankees for that 7 runs in the first inning.
Yeah, that's at first thing I thought was, is he hurt something up? And he stayed in. They did check him once, but I do wonder what's up there for Ohtani to get lit up like that. Listen, it could be just one of those outings. Even DeGrom's going to get lit. Well, we think he'll get lit up eventually, right? Every great pitcher does has a bad game. I don't think New York scares him, so they didn't scare him hitting. So it was weird. No Judge of a lineup tonight as well. I know people going off about that. The Yankees analytics crap that says he needs a day off. But yeah, I think we were all shocked that the Yankees score 7 runs, period, more or less off Ohtani.
So they have been so awful. I know they won last night. They're winning right now 7-4 in the bottom of the 6th. Stands up. I know you're probably watching. Are you surprised at how, frankly, Hal Steinbrenner's never said a word and that Cashman finally admitted the other night that they suck and that nothing's happened to Boone at all and they're just going to go down like a ship, like the Titanic?
Well, two things here. People who are blaming Boone, you're out of your mind. Boone is a figurehead. That's all he is. He has nothing to say about everything else the analytics department and Cashman. That's why Cashman can't fire him. We all know this. All right, Boone's not making any decisions. He's like, Yankees will be fine. We're good. We're really close. We're going to get close. I want to strangle him when he says that all the time. What annoys me about the Yankees is this. It's the same lineup, the same guys, game in, game out, game in, game out. I understand the minor leagues, all right, they don't have a lot of top players. They're all younger where they're not ready to play here. But for the love of God, make a change somewhere. All right, put Esteban Florial, put him in center field. Gardner should not see anywhere near the batter's box when there's a left-hander on the mound. He should barely see it when there's a right-hander on the mound. But we know he can't hit a left-hander. It's getting ridiculous here. So I think the most frustrating part for me as a Yankee fan is it's the same guys game in, game out. Frazier, Andujar, Judge, Stanton, you know, all the guys, Odor, and all these other guys who can't really play, can't really hit, can't hit with people on base. You want to tell a story of the Yankee game, just look at the runners in scoring position each game. You know, 2-for-11, 2-for-13. They get lots of traffic, but nobody can drive them in. That's where the story of the Yankee season. And now, hey, you know, Cashman came out, you said it yesterday, hey, we suck. Well, you know, you scored 10 runs yesterday, was 11 runs, got 7 today. Maybe he woke the team up.
And then how about, and I got about 45 seconds, how about the Braves beating the Mets tonight 20-2? What is going on there?
Well, if you're going to lose big, right? When the Yankees lost 8-0, hey, we lost 8-0. There's nothing you can do about it. If I'm going to lose, give me I'll take 20-2, 30-8 any day, man. You can't replay it. You had your loss. You got your butt kicked. Go to the next day.
How is your ice hockey, your ref in ice hockey games? It's 100 degrees outside. How is the ice still hard?
No, it's roller this time of the season, not ice.
Oh.
The ice would not be very good. People short tempers. Had a lot of fights lately. Ask me one day about a fight we had the Monday night, man. We had helmets swinging at each other, people spearing each other, and no one could take down a guy. This guy was knocking people down like bowling pins, and no one could get him down.
All right, George, I got to run. I love all the violence. You're the man. I'll talk to you soon.
Be good.
Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
All right, Pharrell and Avench. So the Yankees lead the Angels 7-4, bottom 6, I think going to the 7th now. The Red Sox, same thing, bad weather. They're up 5-2, bottom 7 at Fenway. A's lead the Rangers 3-0, bottom 8 in Oakland at the Astray. Tigers look right now up 4-1 in the bottom of the 5th in Cleveland. Game 2 of the doubleheader, they won the first game 9-4. So the Tigers looking for the sweep in Cleveland. That's bad for the Indians. Rockies beat the Pirates 6-2. Cardinals 7-4 over the D-backs. Brewers 15-7 over the Cubs. Cubs led 7-0 and gave up 15 straight to the Brewers. Nationals 15-6 over the Rays. Marlins 11-6 over the Phillies. Mariners 9-7 and 10 innings over the Jays. Padres beat the Reds 7-5. They stopped it after 6 and Cincy with bad weather. Braves 20-2 over the Mets. The Astros lose again to the Orioles. I think they got swept by the Orioles. How embarrassing. The Orioles sweep you in Houston. That is honestly, I don't know if they're playing tomorrow, but that is embarrassing. The White Sox beat the Twins 13-3. They kicked their ass 6 ways till Sunday. So far, with all the talk going on between Giolito and Donaldson, it doesn't matter. The White Sox are burying them. Canadians lose 3-1 to the Lightning. Tampa leads the Stanley Cup Final 2-0. Now it'll go to Montreal, where they're only going to allow 3,500 fans in the games. The Suns are in the NBA Finals. CP3 had 41, and it was all Phoenix tonight in L.A., 130-103. They blew them out, kicked their ass. And Beverly got ejected for shoving Chris Paul in the fourth quarter because Beverly's a hack. He's a dirty hack and a piece of shack player that finally resorted to violence because he was losing. Not only that, he's a sore loser. The Suns shot 56% from the floor, 54% from downtown. Meanwhile, the Clippers 30% from downtown, and they sucked. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast. Good night.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.